right, I was wrong. I can't repay all the love you've given me. You were my friend when no one cared.
Yep.
When I was alone, you were there. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened. Child, and you're my father.
Yep.
I'm the clay, and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened. I love you, Jesus, God's only Son. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. I owe it all to you, Lord, for all I have is you, Lord. Take my life, make me what you have me be.
Amen.
Good job.
Amen. Amen. This time we're going to ask Brother T.A. Lester to come and speak to us, give us God's word, and you be about praying about how the Lord would speak to your heart about the message tonight. Don't forget to pick up our invitations to the revival back there on the table. Get some of the God's Simple Plan of Salvation tracks, get some calendar cards, and share that with the folks and invite them to be here the rest of the week, 7 o'clock Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Thank you, brother.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Good to be with you again tonight. Well, I hope you've had a good day. I have got just a little bit of a nap in and everything, and appreciate that from the Lord. I am going to finish what I started this morning, Lord being my helper. Okay, so go back to John chapter 4. I'm not going to reread what I read this morning, but I'd like to pick up in verse number 16. And again, if you don't mind, if you would stand for the reading of 6 or 8 verses there, I would appreciate it. But in verse number 16, John chapter 4, the Bible said, Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou said, Well, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thine husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Incorrectly read, we began reading verse 16, read down through verse number 26. And Lord, being my helper, I'll finish the sermon on what are you doing for lunch. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord, for the love that's in this place. I thank you, dear Lord, for every effort that's put forward in this place. And I pray, Lord, that you continue to bless Mebbins Tabernacle Baptist. And I pray, God, that you'll just give the preacher wisdom. I know he wants wisdom. I feel like on a daily basis he asks wisdom. I know I need it on a regular basis. So I pray, Lord, that you'll just help him. I pray, dear Lord, you'll be with the folks that are in the auditorium. We do not know what the needs are in this place this night. We think we may know some of them, but Lord, I'm convinced we don't know them all. And I pray that you'll work and move. Pray that you'll speak to hearts. Lord, I pray you'll touch lives. God, I ask you to save somebody tonight. I pray, dear Lord, that you'll work. And Lord, I'll be so careful. I'll take my hands off of it. I'll give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for everything that's done in this place. For make my prayer in Jesus' name. I know he's worthy. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And I appreciate you being here tonight. Amen. You could have been a lot of places. You could have been at the races, but the race is over. Okay, it ended several hours ago. You could have been a lot of places, and I understand that. So I appreciate you taking time out. What are you doing for lunch? And I'm not going to go into that whole explanation, but whether you think it's lunch, whether you think it was supper, whether you think it's your midnight snack, it doesn't make any difference. It wasn't the time that we're talking about. It's what happened during that time. Amen. So I want to ask you again tonight, what are you doing for lunch? I say lunch is over. I know, but have you ever noticed every day it comes around? Boy, I'm glad. Amen. And everything. So if you didn't get everything done this day at lunch, maybe you'll get it done tomorrow. Okay? And the first thing I want to point out to you is God must convict of sin for people to get saved. You say, well, preacher, I don't know about that. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. If you don't get forgiven, and if you don't confess your sins, and you don't have to say it the way I say it, that's not the point. The point is you realize you're a sinner, okay? In verses 16 through 18, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Now, he was not being critical, okay? But he knew what he knew, and he knows all things, okay? The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now have is not thy husband. In that thou sayest thou truly. And, you know, what are you going to be doing for lunch tomorrow? And folks, I think we need to be kind. I think we need to be gracious. I think we need to be loving. But we also need to deal with the sin question, okay? We're all sinners, and that's going to send us to hell. All of us. I got the prettiest little 9 month, well, she's not nine, about 8 month year old grandbaby you ever seen. You say, now, brother, you're not going to tell me she's a sinner. She's a sinner, okay? She may not exhibit as much sinful behavior as some of us do or other people do, but she's a sinner. It's easier for her to do wrong than it is to do right. Okay? And that's what Jesus was saying. Mind, I talked to her about the living water. You know, she had already said that she wanted this living water in verse number 15. Okay? She'd already admitted to him she can't do it. And by the way, you can't do it. Miss Ball was kidding with me before the service and said, you know, your good works will get you to heaven. And I said, no, and I knew she was kidding because I know what she believes, okay? Your good works won't get you to heaven. By the way, they won't get the Catholic Church to heaven, okay? They won't get any do-gooder to heaven. It's not your works, according to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. You're saved by grace through faith, not by your works, okay? And I tend to believe the Word of God, okay? And I'm gonna take that to the bank. I'll never forget. Back in 1979, I was in Lexington, Kentucky, and we were visiting, we were going door to door. And by the way, I still believe God blesses door to door visitation, or evangelism, or going out in the highways and hedges, however you want to put it, okay? I still believe God blesses that, okay? I told you about the fellow that came to the church up near Chicago here a few weeks ago. We didn't visit him, we didn't talk to him, we didn't know him, didn't know anything about him, and we made several visits, and they didn't come that Sunday morning, but he came. And I believe God blessed the effort that went forward. But I was in Lexington, Kentucky. We were knocking on doors and everything. And there was a little grandma out in her front yard working in a flower bed. And I thought, boy, this would be a good visit, you know. And I walked over there and told her who it was and what I was doing and all that kind of stuff. And we kind of struck up a little conversation. And I found out she went to the Catholic Church and this and that. She found out some things about me. And so we just went on. And I began to deal with her salvation. I said, ma'am, if you were to die, would you go to heaven? She said, well, I sure hope so. I'm working on it. Well, that gave me a key right there, okay? Because you don't work your way into heaven. And I said, well, ma'am, the first thing you got to realize is that you're a sinner. She said, young man, let me tell you something. I ain't no sinner. And I thought, whoa, I've struck a chord here, you know. And I dealt with her, and I said, ma'am, we're all sinners. I'm no sinner. And everything, and she got a little higher in pitch, and she stood up from her flower bed and everything. And she was trying to convince me that she wasn't a sinner. Now, you can try to convince me all you want. You can say all the good things you do and all this, but you're still a sinner, okay? It's in our nature to be a sinner. Commit sin. Do wrong, fall short of the glory of God. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Okay? And Jesus dealt with the sin question. I remember Dr. Lee Robinson preached a sermon, and I believe it was in the late 70s or early 80s, in Bessemer, Alabama. And the title of the sermon was, Getting Used to the Dark. His point was, if we're not careful, we get used to sin. Sin creeps into our life. Hey, I'm not saying you're a murderer. I'm not saying you're a bank robber. I'm not saying you're a dope pusher. I'm not saying you're a drunk. But if we're not careful, sin creeps into our life, okay, and begins to negatively influence our life and things like that. So what are you doing for lunch tomorrow, okay? If you have the opportunity, are you going to deal with the sin question, okay? You must deal with the sin question. Jesus did. He was gracious. He didn't bring up all her sins and everything. But when it came up, he dealt with it. Okay? So we need to deal with the sin question. Okay? Somebody said, the ear the cannon has been booming in cannot hear the slight sounds of the Spirit of the living God. And I don't know if you've ever been around loud noises in your life. Years and years and years ago, 50-some-odd years ago, I used to drive a race car, and we didn't wear earplugs, and a lot of times didn't wear a helmet, okay? And had open headers and everything. And man, I could go down the track at 6,000-7,000 RPMs and do my best to win that race. But I tell you what, you get out of that car, you can't hear nothing. That's the way it is with sin. When you're around it more and more and more and more, it's more difficult to hear the still, small voice of God. What are you doing for lunch tomorrow? Well, if you have the opportunity, deal with the sin question, okay? Jesus not only dealt with the sin question, verse number 16 and 18, he avoided confrontation. Hey, folks, we got more things to do than fight about things. Okay? And you may not agree with me on everything. That's okay. You may not drive a Jeep. That's okay. I think mine's the only one in the parking lot tonight. Okay? That don't make no difference. You can drive a Chevrolet. You can drive a Ford. You can break down if you want. No, I didn't say that. But we don't have to agree on the type of vehicle we drive. All right? But what we do have to agree on is the fact that we need to avoid confrontation. Look in verse 10 and verse number 11. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. He didn't need it. Amen. And I dealt with that this morning. I'm not going to go over it again tonight. And the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Verse 12. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof, himself and his children and his cattle? Three different times, she in those verses, she said something that wasn't true. Okay, first of all, she was questioning the omnipotence of God Almighty. God can do anything He wants to do. You say, well, He can't sin. He don't want to. Okay? He can do anything He wants to. He can speak this world into existence. That amazes me. It absolutely amazes me. He said, let there be light. There was light. Okay? He didn't have to flip a switch. He didn't have to get the hydro plant running. He just said, let there be light. And there was light. Amen. Yeah, he's great. He's got all power under heaven and earth. So when she questioned his omnipotence, okay, that was a mistake. Then she said, art thou greater than our father Jacob? You see, what she didn't realize, and maybe she didn't know, I don't know, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt, but Jacob was not her father. She was not a Jew. She was a Samaritan. The Bible's very clear about that. Okay? And the Samaritans descended from a mixed multitude, okay, that the king of Assyria placed in Samaria. So she wasn't a Jew to start with. So Jacob wasn't her father. He wasn't in her lineage. Okay? And second of all, she was talking about greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well. Okay? Jacob no more gave her that well, okay, than Moses gave the manna. Moses didn't give it. God gave it. Moses just happened to be there when it happened. Okay? And, it was a situation that the well didn't belong to her. Okay? In fact, if you look back in verse number 5, the Bible says, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to the Samaritans." Is that what it says? No. Shake your head so I can hear something rattle. Okay? It doesn't say he gave it to the Samaritans. He gave it to his son Joseph. Okay? So that was the three mistakes she made. Okay? And Jesus didn't jump in the middle of it and go both ways. She was wrong. He knew she was wrong. But he decided not to get in the middle of a confrontation. And you know, there's some people that like confrontation just for confrontation. I'm convinced of that. Okay? And that's their, I don't know, maybe that's what makes them happy, is to be in a fight all the time. But what are you doing for lunch tomorrow? Are you going to jump in the middle of somebody because you know one particular sin they have? Hey, we've all got sins, okay? And you may not know mine, and that's okay. I'm not going to tell you any more than the Holy Spirit tells me to tell you, okay? But we need to be careful that we're just not looking for confrontation. Some people are, okay? We need to be careful that we deal with the sin question. Third of all, we must realize that the Word of God did away with apprehension about salvation. Now, for time's sake, I'm not going to read verses 11 down through 15, okay? That deals with the fact that the Word of God did away with apprehension. Let me tell you something. When we're out soul winning, I carry a soul winner's New Testament with me. I carry the Word of God. Now, I don't carry a big family Bible. I don't beat them over the head with it and everything else. But as soon as I can, I want to get into the Word of God. I forget who it was. Oh, it was Brother Miller. We were talking before church this evening. He was talking about when he got saved and the fact that he had a little Gideon New Testament, okay? Back the first part of June, we gave about 40, I didn't. There was a Gideon there. They gave probably closer to 100 Gideon New Testaments away to children, okay? Why? They need the Word of God. They need to know there's something special about that book. Okay? And ladies and gentlemen, the sooner we can get into God's Word dealing with people, the better off we are. What you think and what you say, okay, doesn't hold a light to what the Word of God says. Okay? And Jesus used the Word of God. By the way, everything he spoke was the Word of God. Okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God, and what he spoke was the Word of God. Okay? And you may have a red letter edition, and this verse and that verse, and you know, many verses, and I don't know how many there is, are actually the words of Christ. Did you know? And I've probably said this here before, but the words that are read in your Bible are no more the Word of God than the ones that are in black. Now, I think it's important to realize that the ones in red were those that Jesus spoke. And he took his time to speak those words, but they're no more the Word of God, okay, and everything. But Jesus, and you can go back and read through it if you want to, okay? I hope you do. Verses 11 through 15, he got into the Word of God, all right? What are you doing for lunch tomorrow? Hey, do you carry a New Testament with you? Do you? Do you use the New Testament? Do you read your New Testament? Okay. Why? Well, that's the most effective thing we've got. That and the Holy Ghost of God are the most two important things that we've got. What are you doing for lunch tomorrow? Are you going to try to give out some of the Word of God? It's effective. It works. Okay. And the Word of God did away with the apprehension about salvation. Fourth of all, we need to let God use us where we are. I don't know how many times I've heard somebody say, well, I'm going to get saved as soon as... No. Whoa, hold it. You don't need to get saved as soon as you do something, because that won't have anything to do with your salvation. Okay? Well, I want to get me a suit. Okay? Whether you have a suit or whether you don't have a suit, don't make any difference to God. Okay? Now, I happen to wear suits because my wife buys them for me. If I don't wear them, she whoops up on me. Okay? So, I've worn suits before I ever knew her. Okay? I just think we need to. Okay? I think the man of God needs to look like the man of God. And I have friends, and in fact, it's been several years ago now, I was preaching in, I'm trying to say Mount Washington, that's not right, but a place in Kentucky. And I was preaching a revival, and it was four or five night revival, and there was four or five of us preachers preaching. And if I'm in the area, and if I can, I try to support the other preachers that are preaching. So I showed up, and I was going to preach, I think, the next night, Brother Salu. But I wore a suit. And the preacher, and I knew the preacher, I preached in his church. He always wore a suit when he was in church. But this was an open-air meeting. And he didn't want to wear a suit. And I'm not being critical, okay? I'm not picking on him, okay? But he didn't have a suit on. He didn't have a tie on. He didn't have a coat on. Okay? And I came and I had a suit on and everything. And he said, oh, brother, you don't need that suit. And I said, well, I know I don't need it, but I'm just kind of funny about it. If you don't mind, just humor the old man. Okay? I'm going to wear my suit tonight. Okay? And I did. And I wasn't trying to be mean to him. And the preachers knew me and they knew how I was and everything. They knew I was going to wear a suit. When I came to preach the meeting, all right? And I like to, hey, you know what? I've got some real nice-looking sports coats. I do. My wife, man, she's a shopaholic. She shops these expensive places, like the Goody Wheel store, okay? And all that. And, man, I've got some good-looking, nice sports coat. But, you know, Brother Slew, I don't wear much. Now, if I'm going somewhere and I'm not going to be on a platform, not going to be preaching and everything, sometimes I'll wear one. Okay? You say, well, do you not like sports coats? Hey, they're fine. But not for me. Okay? I believe that we ought to do what we can do. Hey, look, I want God to use me at the highest level He can use me. I realize I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I realize I'm a zero with the ring knocked off, but I want to be available for God to use me. Amen. And we see here that God used the poor to deal with the poor. Do you think Jesus was poor? I think He was poor. Amen. You see, we don't see here that Jesus rode in on a donkey, do we? Do you see that, Brother Jackson? No. He walked in. Okay? I mean, he didn't ride in a chariot. He walked in. In fact, the Bible said, the birds of the air have nests and everything, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. The foxes have holes, but not the Son of God. Okay? But yes, he was poor. You say, do you have to be poor to be a preacher? I don't know, but it helps. I said that being comical, but Jesus was a poor man. He was a man that
didn't even have a place to lay his head. He didn't have a pillow, according to the Word of God. Okay? And everything. So he was a poor man dealing with a poor woman. Okay? You say, how do you know she was poor? She came to get water. Yeah, she didn't have a servant to get the water for her. Amen? She came herself in the middle of the day so she could avoid the crowds. She came, you see, we just need to realize God needs to use us and can use us where we are. Hey, maybe you haven't been saved for 47 years. I don't know. I don't know how long most of y'all have been saved. There's not many people in the auditorium been saved as long as I have, okay? But that doesn't determine whether or not God can use you. Did you know you can give a tract out just as easy as I can, okay? You can take one, and I got one here that's got a beautiful picture on it. My, of the church. How nice it is. Don't pay no attention to this dude up here. He's nothing important, okay? But I can give this away. You know, Miss Cook, you can give these away. Yeah. Brother Miller, you can give these away. Now, hey, Brother Walker, you can give these away. All right? We can all invite people to the Lord's house. Amen? That's what's all. Don't make no difference where you are. And by the way, you're going to be somewhere tomorrow that I'm not going to be. You say, where? I don't know. But last time I looked, ain't nobody camping out on my doorstep. Okay? And I got this microphone in this pocket. I can't get these things back in there. But anyway, I said all that to say this. Let God use you where you are. God may just have something in your life that He wants you to say that really speak to somebody's heart. You know, people all over this country know I used to be a hippie. Say, doesn't that embarrass you? Oh, no, no, no. You see, when Jesus passed by, whoa, what a difference since Jesus passed by. I can't explain it, and I cannot tell you why. Oh, what a difference when Jesus passed by. Hey, did He make a change in your life? If He didn't change something in your life, in your outlook, in your goals and objectives in your life, I believe I'd check up on my salvation. Amen? You say, why? Well, because of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Ms. Wagner, I didn't understand what happened to me. I really didn't. I mean, I was a hippie, okay? And I didn't understand what God did to me, preacher. Had no idea. Man, it blew my mind. All of a sudden, the things I used to do, I didn't want to do them anymore. Places I used to go, I didn't want to go there anymore. The words I used to say, some of them I didn't want to say anymore. Okay? Didn't know what had happened. But Jesus passed by. Amen. And I decided early on I was going to let Him use me where I was. And let me give you one more and we'll go home. Okay? Jesus overcame barriers. Everybody has a shield up. Okay? And Brother Miller was telling me about a neighbor he's got. And he's been trying to witness to him. And Brother Miller went to all the time and trouble to mark up a Catholic Bible. You say, Catholic Bible? What do you know about a Catholic Bible? It's just like yours, except it has the Apocrypha in it. Okay? But he went through there and he marked it up. And you say, why a Catholic Bible? Because they think there's something more holy about a Catholic Bible than there is a regular Bible. And if you're dealing with a Catholic person, and I've done this, go into the home and sure, I've got my old KJV 1611, you know, and everything. But I had one lady in particular. I'd picked her son up on the bus route for several times, and I knew she was lost and steeped in Catholicism and everything. So I made an appointment to talk to her about Christ and went in, introduced herself, myself, and talked to her for just a minute. And I said, ma'am, do you have a Bible? And she said, oh, yeah, I've got one. And I said, would you mind to go get it? I'd like to show you some scripture. Now, I had mine in my back pocket, okay? But you see, there was something about using her Bible. And yeah, it has the Apocrypha, it has Balaam the Dragon in it, it's got the Maccabees in it, okay? It's got some historical books, and they are historically correct, okay? But they're not in the canonization of the Word of God. And so she brought her big Catholic Bible out, and I turned right over to Romans 3:23. You say, where is it? Same place in her Bible, it is in our Bible. And I dealt with the fact that she was a sinner. And then I went to Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Brother Tim, I read that to her out of her Bible. Showed it right there is what it said. And I said, ma'am, do you understand that because of your sinful condition, you can't go to heaven? Now, I didn't jump in the middle of her and go both ways and say, ma'am, you're going to hell. And she was. Okay? But I went all the way through the plan of salvation in her Bible. And I said, would you like to trust Christ as your Savior? And she said, I sure would. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We prayed in her living room with her Catholic Bible. All right? Hey, it's all in there. And most of them are KJV 1611. They just add the Apocrypha into it. Okay? I didn't read out of the Apocrypha. Wouldn't know where to read. Wouldn't know what's said or anything else. But we need to overcome barriers. First of all, we need to overcome social barriers. Look in verse number 9. The Bible said, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And I went into that this morning. I'm not going to go back into it tonight. But there was a social barrier there. I don't know whether you've noticed or not, but everybody don't do everything they do the way you do it. Amen? My wife and I were talking about somebody and how they fixed Italian food, and their sauce, they mix a lot of Alfredo in with their pizza sauce. Man, don't mess up my pizza sauce with Alfredo. I don't like Alfredo. Okay, all right. And this guy is so proud of his Italian food. And everything don't taste the same, sure don't look the same, and everything. Everybody don't do things the same way. Jesus, okay, overcame the barrier of not dealing with a Samaritan. Okay. Second of all, look in verse number 11. And I've already read it. I'm not going to read it again, but that's when she said, sir, you have nothing to draw with. Not only was there a social barrier, there was a sight barrier. Now, I realize there ain't a whole lot I can do about my appearance. I mean, this is it, honey. This is fixed up as good as it gets, okay? And if you don't like that, I'm sorry. I'm doing the best I can, okay? And it's just not our personal appearance, okay? We see here, as Jesus began to deal with her about her salvation, okay? And there was not only a social barrier there, there was a sight barrier. He didn't have a bucket. He didn't have a rope. You know, he didn't have a crank to crank it down with or get it back up with, okay? There was the social barrier, there was the sight barrier, and then there was the established barrier. Verse number 12, art thou greater than our father Jacob? I believe she took a little offense there. I'm not sure, but I believe she did. Which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. Okay? There's a lot of historical things that I don't like. I hate slavery. I do. But folks, it's part of our history. It happened. Whether we want it to or not, it's over with. It's done. Okay? And, you know, whether it's slavery or whether it's underground railroad, or no matter what it is, okay? We need to overcome barriers in winning folks to Christ. You say, Brother Lester, if folks see you dealing with that person, they will think you're like them. You know? And I don't fellowship with the Bezer sort. All right? But I am going to try to talk to the Bezer sort about going to heaven and missing hell. Okay? We need to overcome barriers. Time after time after time, I've dealt with drunks. And, you know, some people say drunks can't get saved. I don't know. I have no idea. Okay? I think they have to have the concept about sin. They have to have the concept about the Savior. I think they have to ask and everything. But we need to overcome barriers. Hey, I don't like drunkenness. I don't like the smell of it. Okay? And when drunks get slobbering drunk, they spit all over you, okay? And I really don't like that, okay? But let me tell you something. We need to overcome barriers. Hey, what are you doing for lunch tomorrow? What's going to happen when at one of your vacant minutes tomorrow, somebody wants to hear something about Jesus? Are you going to overcome the barriers? I hope you will. Are you going to let God use you where you are? I hope you do. Are you going to use the Word of God? Man, if you don't do anything but memorize 15 verses, give them the Word of God by memory, okay? You don't have to whoop out your family Bible and beat them over the head with it, okay? But you do need to use the Word of God, okay? Because it does away with apprehension about salvation. And then, we need to avoid confrontation. Don't be looking for a fight. And last of all, we got to deal with the sin question. Everybody's a sinner. They're either saved sinners or lost sinners. Amen. What are you doing for lunch tomorrow? Your vacant minutes, are you going to use them for the Lord Jesus Christ? I sure hope you do. Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes. Ma'am, if you'll go ahead and come to the piano, I'd appreciate that. But ladies and gentlemen, the most important thing we've got to do is lead men and women and boys and girls to Jesus. That's the most important thing we've got to do. And you need to start with yourself. If you're not saved, I want you to deal with that question tonight. Say, well, I'll think about it. Maybe I'll do something tomorrow. Well, tomorrow may not come for you. The Bible says life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little while, vanisheth away. If you're sitting under the sound of my voice tonight, you do not know that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. We can help you with that from the Word of God. Not what I think, not what the preacher thinks, but what the Word of God says. Amen.